Saddle up your horses.
Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walters Show here, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you today. Before I get any further, I don't often give this out. I should do it more often. If you want to comment, criticize constructively or otherwise, doesn't really matter what you have to say. You may reach me at redskyradio777@gmail.com. redskyradio@777@gmail.com. Well, I have to say, the honeymoon is over. All right, we had a few weeks of sort of rapturous, breathing easily. What's the word for it here? I'm not coming up with the right word. Kind of this bit of a euphoria. I guess euphoria is not really quite the word, but this relief, this release, the sense of freedom, all of this that was wrapped up in the election and the results of it, of course, and kind of this, we're free at last. And then the realities start to settle in that the reason that Democrats are Democrats is because they're sort of like termites. They do not quit. They work and chew and gnaw and try to tear down structures and destroy foundations 24/7. They don't go to bed. You know, the termites don't sleep. And neither does the devil. Neither do the Democrats who have brought up these things. I don't want to get into the Gates thing, but now the Hegseth. And he's got to stay and fight. He's got to stay and fight, and Trump has to support him, and I think that he is. He has got to fight in this thing, because the more that go down, the easier the next ones are going to fall. I mean, you know, if you're like, if you're nominated or appointed by Trump to fulfill a particular post, and you see three or four targets ahead of you all drop, I mean, what does that do to the next person? There's a domino effect here. It would show Trump weakness. And the left is just going to keep going. Are just going to keep going and going. And the problem here are not really the Democrats. It's the rhinos, the Republicans in name only, that aren't supportive of Trump's picks. And if you come out and call them for what they are, then that's all the more reason for them to side with the Democrats. What if a couple of them change parties? You see, the Democrats are horrible. They're evil throughout. The Republicans, some of them are in actuality, some of them, worse. Because they will say what's necessary to win a Republican primary, but that's not where their heart is. They'll say what's necessary to keep those Republican voters voting for them at election time, but that's not where their heart is. And then they get into the seat of power, and they want to be liked, they want the perks, and because the heart is not really on the righteous side, they will fabricate ways by which to come up and not support good things. And that's what's happening here. Honestly, I think the only safe majority of senators is about 60, not 53. There are just too many weenies in there. They're bad. I'll make a biblical parallel here. The nation of Israel went through a period of time where the 10 tribes called Israel, and then the 2 tribes called Judah, but there's actually Judah and Benjamin, the 2 good tribes. But the 10 bad tribes had 40 gosh, I don't know what they had, 40-some kings over the years. Not one righteous one among them. Not a single one. Every single one was bad. I could be wrong on that number. But it was a long line. Every single one of them was horrible. So bad that the good priests, the ones that were trying to follow the word of the Lord, that lived in the areas of those 10 tribes, eventually, or many of them, moved to Jerusalem. They had to get out of Dodge. They couldn't stand the corruption and the gross immorality that was daily life in those 10 tribes, all the time thinking that they're actually good people while pushing and purveying evil on a wholesale basis. But those good priests and prophets, if there were some, went to Jerusalem. They had to leave. But the problem was in Jerusalem and in Judea and among the Benjamites was that they had a form of godliness, but many of them denied the power thereof. They had some good kings. They had a few great kings. Then they had some bad kings. I mean, really bad, like Manasseh. And goodness sakes, they were terrible. And they were worse in the sense that they were hypocritical. Hypocritical. And the 10 tribes actually believed the garbage that they espoused. They actually were evil. They admitted it. Not admit they were evil, but the things that they supported, they didn't hide them. There was nothing hypocritical in their behavior. But in Judah and Judea and among the Benjamites, there was this developing hypocrisy. They would say one thing that would be pleasing to godly people, and yet their heart was not there. And because of the hypocrisy, in other words, because they knew better and they didn't do what they should, they knew better and they did contrary to what they professed, God judged them harder and harsher than the northern 10 tribes. I mean, you think about it. You got two sons. One is a wayward son, wayward from the get-go. He's always pushed the envelope. He's prided himself in being a bad kid. And then you got the good one. But the good one actually is only good for the purposes of obtaining benefits from mom and dad. He'll say and do anything necessary. The Eddie Haskell, right? Say and do anything necessary to win the support and adulations of the parents, yet in his heart, he's just as bad as the other one. That's the situation in Judea, and then the 10 tribes. It's also the situation in Washington, D.C. There are no doubt good senators and absolutely good congressmen, but there are some bad ones who trade in the Republican circles with words of truth and righteousness, but have no use for truth and righteousness. None whatsoever. And so, you know, somewhere down the road here, the Republican Party could be done. And maybe it just needs to be the MAGA Party. That would be more fitting than to have a pack of rhinos in there that are thwarting good things that need to be done. And if it doesn't happen in this administration, it's never going to happen. I don't see it, not in this country. Because we see what's happening around us. You look to Mexico. Mexico is so ridiculously corrupt, escorting bands of ne'er-do-wells and criminals and prison releasees up to the U.S. border to get rid of them, let them pass through, smuggling drugs into this country, not doing what they should to stop it. Trump has an absolute right approach with Mexico and Canada because The Democrats only have ever understood one thing. Only one thing gets their attention. A financial spanking. They have to be whacked, like my mother used, with a large laminated yardstick. Not your ordinary little flimsy whimsy yardstick. This sucker is about 3 inches wide, at least a quarter to a 3/8 of an inch thick. And it was a yardstick, but it was laminated. And goodness sakes, it did the job. Of course, I say that in hindsight, no pun intended. But that's all they understand. Because when you take away their money, you take away their control. And that's what they're after. It's what the devil's after. Control, control, control. Those are the three planks of the Democrat platform. Are control, control, and control. But you take away the money. In other words, you defund by 50%, 75%, whatever. The DOJ, the FBI, DHS, Department of Homeland Security, Department of Environmental Protection. You defund them. Then they can't do their work, and they can't do their work. They can't exercise the control that they lust for, and they do lust for it. So Trump actually has a beautiful plan in these horrific tariffs against Canada and Mexico that he's proposing if they don't shape up. So the sucker that Trudeau is, He crawls like a servile cat down to Mar-a-Lago, like Morning Joe and Micah Schmicah, his wife, go down there to kiss the ring of the Orange King. He's doing the same thing. He's sucking up. The problem is Trump is susceptible to people sucking up to him. Totally the first time around. And this is where I really appreciate and laud Donald Trump Jr. in the sense that I think dad is listening to son more than he did before. Actually, you know, he's 8 years older, 8 years wiser. So, dad, you fell for this like a gullible sap in 2016, the people you appointed because they were nice. You thought they liked you, and if you thought they liked you, that they respected you and would believe like you. But no, they just want to infiltrate and deep state your administration. So it's totally ineffective. I think he's much wiser this time, having learned. And it was fabulous that he wasn't reelected the first time. Why? Well, because if we had a Republican president right now, it would be Mike Pence. And he's a waste of time. In fact, he's worse than a waste of time. He's counterproductive to the cause. Christian testimony and all, forget it. I'm sorry, he's not what you want for a vice president, much less a president. So Trump coming out with a financial spanking of Canada proposed, Mexico proposed, isn't amazing how all these others start sucking up to him. I hope he is just not the nice guy who promises a spanking but never really had any intention to do it, because that means if he doesn't do it, then later in his administration, these countries will just play him for the fool. He's got to follow through. He has to be, if he doesn't get what he demands and wants, he needs to be just as ruthless as he has promised. And this is why his cabinet selections are so critical. It is why, I hate to say this, but I actually believe it this time around, that loyalty is probably a greater virtue here than competence. What is competence anyway? I mean, most of these people that run these agencies, I mean, how competent is Mayorkas? guy's a waste of time. He's a traitor. He should be tried for treason and should be held accountable. Which you know what that means, along with everybody else that that Joe Biden is talking about pardoning ahead of time, which we'll get to hopefully in this program. But the people of Canada and Mexico want good relations with the U.S. And the leaders of those countries have to want the same thing, or have to do it, even if they don't want it, or else their derriere, their keister is kicked to the curb. And we would applaud that. Better people. I mean, Trudeau, goodness sakes, like the Babylon Bee here a few days ago said, has a picture of Trump and Trudeau at Mar-a-Lago. The caption says that U.S. or Trump is reopening relationship with Cuba. In other words, they have Trudeau as far left as Fidel Castro, and he is. You know, the guy was a masseuse. That was his training. Now, look, I got nothing against masseuses, but it isn't the training ground to be prime minister. Gosh, what a weasel. I cannot believe the people of Canada actually put up with that jokester. And there are a few that don't, because I'm a long time getting to some good news, but I do have a little bit here today. It's a mayor of a small rural Canadian township. It's in Ontario. I only know Ontario because it was contiguous to the state of Michigan and been through there and various times and so forth. But the mayor of this little community here by the name of Harold McQuaker. That's right, McQuaker. And he is a leader of a little community of only 1,300 people called Emo. E-M-O, not Elmo. Emo. Emo Canada, 1,300 people. He has been targeted by the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ2SIIIAAA, you name it, all the crap from hell that is masquerading as somehow form of moral virtue to impose upon the children of Canada, the re-education crowd, the indoctrination crowd, by the Ontario Human Rights Commission. They came against this mayor of Emo, 1,300 people. It's a little tiny community. And the Ontario Human Rights Commission, with the authority to do so, is fining him $5,000 because he refuses to fly the pride flag, which I don't call the pride flag. I don't call it the gay flag. I'm done calling it the queer flag. I'm going to call it the fag flag. Doesn't that fit? Got a nice little ring to it. This intimidation under the force of law. If you don't support our sodomy, if you don't support the mutilation of minors' genitals, if you don't support everything that God calls sexually an abomination, we're going to fine you. And this mayor said, go ahead, Jack. I'm not paying the fine. And I'm not flying that pride flag. Those are his words. He doesn't quite say it like that, but he's not from the South. He's from Southern Ontario. He's not doing it. I mean, in this piece, there's a trucker. I don't need to get into the story, but he used to live in Romania when it was communism, under communism. Melania, I think, was from Yugoslavia. But in any case, he said, quote, this is not Canada anymore. This is a communist country. Canada has no First Amendment. You cannot say whatever you want in Canada, and right there is a problem. Number two, you can't carry arms in Canada, so you can't even enforce the rights that you do have. And so, this guy, I don't know what's going to happen to him. Pray for him. Harold McQuaker, M-C, and then Quaker, Q-U-A-K-E-R. Emo Canada. Oh, man. God bless this guy. He's going to go pay the fine, but he's going to refuse to fly the flag. They don't get to hit him with a fine twice. Well, I don't know. Maybe they do. But Canada, it's hard to say, is anything but a country that just sucks now. It's not safe. You can't go there. I couldn't go there and preach what I would want to and should preach without being arrested. I was turned down by a radio station 8 or 9 years ago in upstate New York, only about, 6 or 7 miles from the Canadian border, because a station beamed into Montreal. That was its listening audience. It was a New York, and it was a U.S.-based station. But because I would not bend and say that I would only say nice things about homosexuality and sodomy, and goodness sakes, if I ever use the word fag or fag flag, I would be bounced off the air in a heartbeat. But they heard a couple of my programs. I was just simply uncompromised in the Word of God. They said, we can't have you. We cannot have you on the station because the city of Montreal will come against us. And I said to the owner of the station, so what? So what if they come? You're a U.S. corporation. You're housed and broadcasting from the U.S. Call it Radio Free Canada. And he wouldn't do it. Now, I understand it turned out to be money because he was probably going to lose advertisers in Canada or contributions. And it was a Christian radio station, so to speak. So to me, it's an amazing thing when Christian radio stations don't have the guts to preach the truth. But you got a mayor, Harry McQuaker, who said, I ain't paying this fine. Do what you want. I'm not going to pay it. Or I guess if he ends up paying it, he's still not flying the flag. So when people from everyday walk of life stand up and Christians don't have the guts to do so, guess what? Let me hang out with Harry McQuaker. I don't care what faith he is. If he's got the guts to stand up for the things that are biblically sound, as true Jews do, Orthodox Jews do, even Orthodox Muslims, I could hang with them on these issues. The reason they can't push this queer crap in the Islamic areas of Hamtramck and Dearborn, Michigan, in the public schools is because the Muslims aren't having it. Don't you come in here and teach our kids that it's okay to have sex with other boys? Man. Go get them, Harry. I think we ought to send them. Harry ought to have a GoFundMe page. Maybe I'll write to him and tell him to start it, because I don't know how to do it. And I'll contribute. Well, isn't it amazing that Iran halts its Israel attacks following Trump's victory? I think this is pretty amazing. The guy's not even in office. And Hamas is coming around. They don't have the guts to do anything. Hezbollah, their people are, you know, you've got some rogue Hezbollah fighters who are trying to infiltrate. But Trump doesn't even, not even in office yet. And he's having this kind of impact. I love this piece from the Babylon Bee that it said, young Hamas recruit excited about already being named regional manager. Well, of course, you know, they're using an American business term to describe a whack job, mentally ill rebel contingent. Contingent, they run the country. But the fact is, what they're saying is, well, you could have this job because regional managers have about a 3-week life expectancy here in Hamas now that Israel's taken them out. Well, I find this pretty cool. when you haven't even done anything yet other than announce what you are going to do, which leads to the next piece. And I love this. There is a friend of Zelensky in Ukraine. He's a member of the Ukrainian parliament who announced this past week that he would formally nominate Donald Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize in 2025. I mean, isn't this something? All that he's accomplishing just by what he says he's going to do, and people believe that Trump is going to do, or at the very least, will do everything he can do to do what he says he'll do. They believe him. Don't mess with this guy. There's a new sheriff in town, and how long he'll be around, we don't know. But as long as he's around, we're going to have to play along with this guy. We're going to have to suck up to him. Now, I can hear the left right now saying, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Donald Trump, the Nobel Peace Prize? Well, I would say, well, look at all he has done peace-wise already. Just the threat of him coming in. Iran backs off. They're not attacking Israel. Hamas is folding. Trump says, hey, you don't return those hostages by January 20th. You're toast. You're going to get smoked. You can kiss it by goodbye, Gaza. They're coming around. Hezbollah's coming around. This guy is accomplishing peace in the Middle East, and he hasn't been sworn in yet. Now, the left is saying, well, he hasn't done anything. Yes, he has. Remember a president that actually didn't do squat, and got the Nobel Peace Prize? Barack Hussein Obama. He didn't do anything. And why did he get the Nobel Peace Prize? It wasn't for anything he ever did, because he didn't do anything. He was a stinking community organizer who didn't do crap as a senator or in the Illinois legislature other than vote present. That's all he did. Go around, make speeches. He didn't do anything to instigate peace. None whatsoever. He got elected just because, or he got the Nobel Peace Prize because somehow a guy who's half black and half Irish is worthy of a Nobel Peace Prize. But he hadn't done jack squat crap diddly, nor did he ever, in the way of peace. Trump, who hasn't even been sworn in, is more worthy of the Nobel Peace Prize than anybody I know of in a long time. I mean, I don't stay up to date. I don't have a log of everybody who's gotten the Nobel Peace Prize. I just know that Obama got it. He didn't do jack to get it, but he got it. Is that all you got to do, be half black and half Irish to get the Nobel Peace Prize? Well, if that's a precedent, then Trump is incredibly deserving. And he is. One other piece of good news. I'm going to fit in here before the break. You've probably read about it, but the role that Christians played in Trump's election really is significant. Now, Trump openly castigated the Christian community. He said, you say you support me, but why don't you get out and vote? I mean, if his statistics were correct, 40% of the Christians did not get out and vote. 40% in 2020. Now, there's 68% of the people in the United States say they're Christian. That's a lie. A lot of people call themselves Christian. They aren't. I get that. But that would mean then that, 40% of 68% is what? It was just under 30% of the people, if that's true. This time, they did get out. I'm going to have to finish this on the other side of the break because there is something here that needs to be shared as a matter of thank you to all those who did vote, but actually as the course for the future. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Hey, I played that in honor of Mr. Harry McQuaker. I fought the law, and the law won. And I turned up the volume. I'm sorry about that, but I just kind of felt like it. Okay, so Christians playing a huge role, they certainly did. We are called to be what? Salt and light. The light is the thing where we bring to people a better way. Jesus is the light. We bring Jesus to people. It says in John, book of John, that the light has entered the world and the darkness couldn't comprehend it, didn't understand it, rejected it. That is the light, to illuminate people to the way, the truth, and the life, which is only in Jesus Christ. So then what is the salt? The salt is a preservative. That's what salt does. It preserves. That is a different function of the Christian in preserving that which is honorable and right. The light is a different function. So we are salt and light. So no voting means no salt. No salt, no voting. No salting. You might say, well, there's no light either. But I'm going to make a little bit of exception for the light because maybe there's a ministry component there that isn't wrapped up just in the process of voting for good or better or righteous or more righteous people than other people. But you don't vote, you're not salt. And you violate the command of Scripture to be. It's not an option. If you feel like it, I'd be salt. If you really want to, it can be light. Go around and sing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to make it shine." Well, that's great. But there are people who think that the only Christian role, the only place for a Christian is to be only light. And then many don't have the guts to be light because they're going to get some pushback and then they run for cover. But salt is a preserving component of our role. That's wrapped up in voting and running for office, for local school board so they don't push this garbage through. And all of those things are wrapped up in preserving what God has given us in this country. So if you don't vote for righteousness, if you don't vote for righteousness and the good things, then you've contributed to the darkness, which we are called to bring the light to. Wow. Well, anyway, you know what? I guess I'll do this, but I really wasn't going to. But I'll make it fast. You know, one of the nice things about Trump being in office is that when you get Donald Trump, you get Melania Trump. I don't like to talk about this, but Jill Biden, who's a tacky, classless, as far as I'm concerned, she's a political pole dancer who was having sex with Joe Biden while Jill was still married to her then husband. That's a fact. Media won't print it, but it's an absolute fact. So as far as The media is concerned it never existed because they don't print it. Then they ignore it. Then it never happened. I mean, that is her roots. I look at the Christmas. Look, I'm not a decorator. I have no skill whatsoever in this capacity, in this arena. It's not what I do. I'm not colorblind, like one of my brothers who. How do these socks look? Well, I said that brown one looks nice, and so does the blue one. Well, he couldn't tell the difference. I'm not that bad, but I'm the guy to impress a date went out who complained about the fact that I didn't have any art hanging from the walls of my apartment. Complained, well, this place is a sterile box. And so I went out. I got some art. I bought the complete set of dogs playing poker. And I hung one of them 1 foot down from the ceiling in the middle of each of four walls. Bad optics, not properly placed. They weren't compacted or organized on one wall and some. I don't get it. And I still don't. And I never saw her again. But I looked at I compared the decorations of Melania's last Christmas at the White House and Jill's decorations. Jill's looked like some sleazy, lobby to some place of ill repute in Las Vegas. I don't want to diss Las Vegas as a whole, because I enjoy preaching in that community. I really do. It's a great place to preach. But Jill just kind of looks like the It just looked whorish. And Melania's classy, really classy. And I thought, well, you know what? It's going to be nice to have some class back in the White House. Okay. Next, the pardon. You knew I was going to get to this. Pardon me for not getting to it sooner. But, all right, so the left is already lying. I forgot the guy who writes for Esquire claimed that Neil Bush was pardoned by George H.W. Bush. And so don't get all jacked out of shape about a president pardoning his son because George H.W. did it. Flat out lie. They took it down off their website. They scratched the Twitter X comments. Because it was false, but what they were trying to do was create news that wasn't news by creating a lie that spreads all around. Then people repeat the lie, the left-wing lackeys in the media repeat the lie, and then so somebody else can say, numerous media sources relay this or state this. They're all just parroting one lie, but then somebody will then further validate the lie by appointing to all the sources that are saying the same thing. They didn't get that far with that, with this, but it is what they're trying to do with President Trump's picks, whether it's Gates or whether it's now Hegseth. Can we four-wall this guy with so many complaints that it doesn't matter what the truth is? The lie will be said so many times, people will assume it's the lie. In the media, in the movie industry, it's called four-walling. And the approach is this. You got a movie that it stinks. It's a horrible movie. They know that it's horrible, but they got $38 million stuck into producing it. And they have this thing called four-walling. And they come out, and before anybody can see it or review it, or very many people have seen it, they blast you with ads like crazy about how great this movie is. And they have all of these people going and seeing a movie that just stinks because they're there before they find out that it's really bad. It's called four-walling. They box the people into believing that no matter which way they turn, all they hear is, this is a great movie, and it stinks. It's what the left does politically. And they say they will four-wall the citizenry with this. Hegseth did this. Hegseth did this at all these different sources. And finally, you say, well, it must be true. Just like we fell for the stupid COVID vax. The vax that sucked, the one that you couldn't get the COVID if you got the vax, a lie. You couldn't transmit it if you had the vaccine, lie. All the people have died from it, and the CDC still lies about it. Hey, so that's kind of where we are. And so now the media is doing this same kind of thing, or trying to, with a Joe Biden pardon. And I, you know what? I'm going to read the Biden's exact words. It's short, and this is probably as far as I am going to get today here in this thing. But he said, in pertinent part, as we in the law like to say, today I signed a pardon for my son Hunter. From the day I took office, I said I would not interfere with the Justice Department's decision-making. And I kept my word, even as I have watched my son being selectively and unfairly prosecuted. Selectively? We've had all kinds of federal employees who now believe it's okay to come out from behind the bushes and say what needs to be said, that this is just absolutely false. We know that it's false. Judges that have said there was no selectivity in this. And after all, wait a second. The DOJ is comprised of Biden's henchmen. So if Biden's henchmen are after Hunter Biden, how was that? Well, how could they be selective and going after the son of the person that they're under the control of? Unless it was done, you know, with an idea to somehow legitimize this presidency. I don't know if that's what's involved there or not. But the fact is, what's being accomplished in all of this? Well, he gets off the hook for 10 years of crimes, 2014 to December 1, 2024. We can only hope that he gets stupid and does something else and we have new things to try him for. That would really be kind of sweet, wouldn't it? Yeah, I think so. But the fact is, Biden, can he do this? Yes, he can. Has anybody ever done it? No. He's obviously covering for himself. And the reason he has to do this is because if Hunter gets tried, and I touched on this last week, trials have a way of bringing out unintended information. So you got a list of 27 witnesses in a Hunter Biden trial that the prosecution brings. Or 17. Who knows what the number is? Who knows what those witnesses are going to say in a trial that they don't even think is connected to the big guy, Joe Biden, the big guy. Now, is it all lost? Is it a lost cause? Well, you know, I mean, a Hunter is probably out someplace sleazing around smoking pot. Now, in fact, now that he's gotten a pardon, he's probably wants to know if there's some way he can get his cocaine back that he left at the White House. I'm sure he's working on that. And I hope he does, because now it's a new crime. And the pardon only goes through December 1st, unless Joe, between now and January 20th, issues 17 more pardons for Hunter's 17 new crimes. Who knows? But now we get to maybe the biggest issue of all in all of this is that what happens if Biden starts down the process, the line of pardoning people who have never been arrested, people who have done stuff over the last 2, 4, 6, 8 years, who knows how far back it might go, pardoning them preemptively. You've probably heard about this on the air. He's got aides that says they're doing a vigorous internal debate over whether to issue preemptive pardons to a range of current and former federal employees and Democrats generally. So who comes up? Mayorkas. Who comes up? Adam Schiff in California. Who comes up? Everybody maybe on the J6 committee. We don't know. We do not know. So this raises four things. I think I've got time to fit these in. Number one, is it constitutional to have a preemptive pardon? Now, you certainly couldn't do it preemptively for something they might commit in the future. I pardon today any crime that Hunter Biden may commit in 2025. No, that doesn't work. That is, so we can skip that part of it. But is it constitutional to have a preemptive pardon for past acts? I don't know. And the Constitution gives the president pardoning power. But the implication is, and this would need to go to the Supreme Court, and doggone it, the Supreme Court better play right here. How can you have a pardon of something that hasn't been levied yet? How can you pardon for a crime that nobody's been charged with? Wouldn't that render the pardon power absolutely meaningless at the least, and actually absolutely perverted at the worst, if you could preemptively pardon people who have never been charged with anything? So, why not, Joey, no brains? I'm your left-wing puppet, Biden. Why not preemptively pardon the entire J6 committee? Why not pardon the entire Department of Injustice? Why not preemptively pardon all the FBI agents? Why not pardon everybody at the Department of Homeland Security from Mayorkas on down? Why not just pardon everybody who calls himself a Democrat in the entire United States for anything they've done in the last 10 years? Well, just get the guns out, because now we'd have civil war. But where's the end of this? See, I would hope that if he does this, this comes to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court gets these kinds of thoughts and questions of the counsel for the Biden administration that brings this to defend this, these preemptive pardons to the Supreme Court, that the Supreme Court would ask these questions. Where does it end? Why can't you pardon the entire Democratic machine, the DNC, of every state and nationally? Why not? That's point number one. Number two, is this really the precedent you want to set? Now, Democrats don't give a rip about precedent if it only just gets their derriere out of a jam right now. They don't care about the future. They only care right now about saving their tush. That's all they care about. They'll burn the house down to conceal the evidence of a burglary. They'll do whatever is necessary. But the precedent here would be awful, which if he did this, would simply now mean that Trump, when he leaves office, needs to provide a pardon for everybody associated with his administration and past administrations and Rudy Giuliani and every. See, the left doesn't have any problem persecuting and prosecuting the right, but we'll see what happens. Number three, it is an admission of guilt. I mean, isn't it? It would have to be. How do you pardon somebody for something they didn't do? How do you say to your son or your daughter, you know what? I forgive you for taking drugs last Friday night. Well, they say, well, I didn't take any. I know you didn't take any drugs, but I'm going to forgive you anyway, as if you did take drugs. Do you see the nonsense of this? Does anybody think through these things to come up with these sort of honest, common sense questions? You see, you only pardon guilty people. You don't pardon innocent people. I mean, if somebody was unfairly imprisoned, I suppose a pardon would come in to play there. But if a person was unfairly imprisoned, and they don't get out just by the pardon. Sometimes they get out by virtue of proving that they were unfairly prosecuted or that they didn't commit the crime. Yeah, that happens. But there has to be an admission of guilt for all those who are contending that they're not guilty. So you pardon the entire J6 committee? Why would they need a pardon if they didn't do anything wrong? Well, there is possibly a silver lining in this, and it's point number 4. And that is, the president does not have the power to pardon people guilty of state crimes. State crimes. Federal crimes, yeah. State crimes, no. So if Hunter goes down to Texas and decides to shoot himself up with whatever, hopefully it's fentanyl, well, that's a crime in Texas. Texas could go do that. If any of these individuals he's looking at prosecuting are also prosecutable, you could bring indictments based on violation of state laws, then they aren't off the hook. But look at the mess that they will be creating. Unbelievable mess. I mean, we've already been paying for that. I mean, the prosecution of Trump over the documents and the records case with Jack Smith. What did it cost us? $50 million for a bogus prosecution. It's unbelievable. Democrats will spend everybody else's money without any reservation, if necessary, to save their own tush. That's what I said. You've got to spank them financially to bring them around. Okay, I would like to get into the issue before the Supreme Court about the Tennessee case, about prohibiting the mutilation of genders of minors' genitals and the prohibition of puberty blockers and all of those things, which Tennessee, having both brains and morals, did, and now it's being challenged. But I look at I just got to conclude with this. So Ketanji Brown Jackson contends that the prohibition against mutilating minors' genitals is like prohibiting interracial marriage, which occurred in Virginia, I don't know, 70, 80, 900 years ago. That's her comparison. Ketanji Brown, who caused all this problem by saying, I don't know what a woman is. Goodness gracious, woman. Why can't you take a clue from the NAACP? It says the mind is a terrible thing to waste, but why do you need to waste it at the Supreme Court level? Go waste it in somebody else's time. Or Sotomayor, that gender mutilation is really no different than taking an aspirin. Are you kidding me? The depth of the immorality and stupidity of the left-leaning ladies, loosely so-called, on the Supreme Court means that if Harris had won and we had a couple of justices leave, they would be replaced with notable definitions of immorality and stupidity. And immorality and stupidity would be the majority of the Supreme Court. Elections have consequences. And this election hopefully has some good consequences. We already know of numbers of judges that are trying to withdraw their retirement. They were going to leave because they assumed Harris was going to win and she would appoint left-leaning Democrats to replace him. They're trying to now withdraw their retirement plans and stay on the bench until maybe Trump is gone so that they can implement their immorality and their stupidity all for the purpose of controlling us. Boy, next week, I can't believe this hour went so fast. Next week, I got a whole lot more. That's about all I can tell you. Sit tall in the saddle, America. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. And God bless you. See you next week.